Councillors, I'll declare the meeting open at 9:34. And as always, I'd like to acknowledge the Quandamooka people who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet, and I'd like to pay respect to their elders past and present, and also extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians who are present here today. Just for the people in the gallery today, just a reminder, our standing order, section 32, actually does guide how public conduct occurs at our meetings. And just a quick reminder, as section 32 says, all members of the public present at a meeting must, not without prior approval of the chairperson, make an audio or video recording or take any photographs, remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way, not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any person present, be suitably dressed, and please turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting to take any calls. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements and may, with or without such warning, require the person to leave the meeting and not return for such period as the chairperson decides. This period may include future meetings. Sure. I think it's probably advisable to realise that we've now got our cameras in place as these meeting proceedings will be recorded, so just so you're aware of that, one at the back and two at the front. Look, we don't have any leaves of absence, but I am aware that Councillor Edwards has been present, however, is not very well. So we'll move on to the devotional segment. And if I could, I'll ask a member of the Redlands Ministers Fellowship, Glenn Gray, from Redlands City Church to lead council in a brief devotional segment. Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you, Mayor. And good morning to everyone. It's a great morning, a challenging one by the placards out the front. And the Mayor, councillors, departmental heads, leaders. I just want to share a few things with you today that would take me over an hour, but I'm going to glean a few things out of it and share with you on leadership. And my map of life says, seek wisdom, for it is your life. Acknowledge God in all your ways. He directs your path. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established and accomplished well. In challenging his leaders, Jesus promised three things. Complete fearlessness, which is a boldness to face up to any situation. A joy that was so deep-seated that it produced peace that could not be shaken, and facing constant trouble. That's what he promised his disciples, and it's exactly the same with all leaders today. And I was just talking to one of you just before, and they shared just right along in this line. And so the constant trouble is a challenge to leaders and to living. But what Jesus shared that day, every leader faces in his life's work. And we need to know that and understand it. Focused on the goal is the thing that's going to bring us through. Always. And keep a focus. There are things that will distract us, but we keep our focus on the goal. And boldness will achieve it. That is, going forward. If you see some footballers, they go straight towards the goal. They'll always achieve yards. But if they go sideways, they don't achieve anything. And so we need to keep our focus on that. After achieving that goal, there's a joy of accomplishment, always, isn't there? And walking through to that goal, there's a challenge. And I call it a challenge instead of trouble. It's a challenge to us every day. Every day, anybody that's out the front gets the bullets first. And we need to understand that and know it so that we're ready for it. There are people that come to us and say it can't be done, or it should be done better this way, or that will never work. I've had that in my ministry. You've had that in your work. Whatever the challenge, fix your eyes and the heart on the goal. Keep your vision before you alive, always. And every step forward is challenged by somebody or something. So go straight for the goal, and you'll get the six-pointer every time. Father God, we want to thank you and praise you because you are the great God of heaven and earth. You are the one that is alive and well, and you're the one that knows the end from the beginning. And so we commit this meeting to you in prayer. We pray for the mayor. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom that you've given to her. We thank you for the insight and the aliveness that is within her. We want to thank you and praise you, bless you and adore you for every business session, everything that's going to be decided upon here, every motion, Lord, everything that comes up. We pray that the blessed abundantly for your wonderful glory. And we give all the praise to you, Jesus, because you're the one that gets all the glory. And Lord, we pray for every person that is going to have input into this meeting to bless them with wisdom, with understanding, with insight for the glory of God. We give you the praise now, Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray lastly for every family that's represented here. We pray that every family will be blessed indeed of you today. We pray that whatever their need is, it will be granted for your glory. And now, Lord, we commit this day to you and say, have your way. Do whatever you have to do to bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Councillors, the next item on the agenda is recognition of achievement, and I do have some items to present this morning. As most people would know, any organisation is only as good as the people within it, and I've also said many times that Redland City Council is very fortunate to have the quality of officers that we do that deliver every day in so many different ways. Many of these officers are unsung heroes who just go about doing their job, but they do it so well and they very rarely receive the recognition that they deserve. Or sometimes they don't even get that simple word, thank you, or simple two words, thank you. So it gives me great pleasure as Mayor to receive accolades directed at our wonderful team here and be able to publicly acknowledge their great work for our council and for our community, even more importantly. So in recent days, I have accepted two awards and one other accolade on behalf of our officers. Last week, at our disaster management meeting, our local disaster management group meeting, our council received a commissioner's certificate of appreciation. Council received a commissioner's certificate of appreciation from Fire Chief Katerina Carroll in recognition of the outstanding contribution in partnership with QFES, Queensland Fire Emergency Services, in the success of Exercise Connect in June. This certificate and the award that came with it really belongs to our disaster planning team, planning and operations team. Mike Lolbach, Mike Tate, Rocco Petrillo and Alison Lamb. I know Rocco and Alison are here because the two Mikes are up at the North Coast telling people how we do it so well here in Redlands. Excuse me, but it's not just them. It's the 65 staff across council who give of their time to participate in training and preparedness for disaster events. And if I could just say that we always shine whenever we're in those exercises because we are so well represented. council has been directly involved in testing its emergency response capacity with QFES over the past 3 years. This proved particularly useful during the 2014 Stradbroke fires, which is the real run of an exercise, and continues to add benefit every time we do these particular disaster exercises. Exercise Connect was conducted with more than 50 staff from across Redlands, 50 SES officers from Redlands City, and members of the Rural Fire Services from the Southern Moreton Bay Islands. The exercise duplicated a tornado event that occurred in the Brisbane area. It started up at North Lakes, if I recall, back in 1973, and made its way all the way out to Cleveland. It was designed to examine what would happen now in a vastly much more populated area. Interestingly, the last three exercises seem to have been targeting me in some way. Like this particular one, they decided to call the town Williamstown, and it's good to know that we had our team on call to do what they had to do in the event of a tornado. Staff provided both disaster management role and practical roles in the field to fully test their capacity and their capability. I'm sure the Deputy Mayor Alan Beard will attest that alongside our General Manager Nick Clark, we definitely improved our understanding of working in this disaster space. Aspects of communication, collaboration and delivery continue to be strong between Redlands City Council and emergency services. Through direct practice, Redlands Council continues to advance its capacity of being one of the best Queensland, best prepared and operationally effective local governments, and we hear that all the time. So what I might do, I'll ask those officers that are in attendance, both Alison and Rocco, to come forward to accept this on behalf of Council, Redlands City Council, and of course the Commissioner, and this doesn't happen all the time, so it's really important that we acknowledge the people that make it happen. But wait, there's more. We'd also received a second award. I was very proud to accept Surf Life Saving Queensland's Life Saving Excellence Award also about a week ago now. SLSQ relies heavily on the efforts and enthusiasm displayed by its members, local clubs and supporting organisations such as Redlands City Council. The Life Saving Excellence Award was for the continued support and commitment in providing a safe and enjoyable access to our beaches and foreshores across the Redlands and upholding the SLSQ vision of zero preventable deaths and injuries on Queensland beaches. Last year, Council and SLSQ collaborated with other stakeholders on North Stradbroke Island in developing and identifying better aquatic safety and emergency signage as part of the Coastal Public Safety Risk Assessment. This will form part of the North Stradbroke Island signage program, and with funding support from the state government, we'll see tangible benefits to our community, its many visitors and, of course, beachgoers, and it will also be a positive step in the island's economic transition and to standardise safety signage right across Queensland beaches. So I'd like to particularly acknowledge Lex Smith and Service Manager City Sport and Venues, Tim Goward, who is here, for their work with SLSQ. Without them, we would not be receiving this award. As an aside, just a reminder to our members in the gallery and members of the public that this Friday at Rabbey Bay Foreshore Park, the Surf Life Saving Queensland CEO John Brennan will join me in launching the return of the volunteer surf lifesavers across Redlands City to its local beaches next Saturday, the 19th of September, when they officially kick off their 2015-16 patrol season. Of course, we're very, very lucky to have such great volunteers, and this season launch will see volunteers from Point Lookout and Coochie Mudlow Island surf clubs raise the red and yellow flags and watch over swimmers each and every weekend and public holiday until April 2016, which will be backed up by, of course, our SLSQ professional lifeguards right across North Stradbroke Island. I feel very honoured not too many councils receive this type of award, but it just demonstrates how we are very good at collaboration with those community organisations to keep our residents and visitors safe on our beaches. So, Tim, if you'd like to come up in this instance to accept this on behalf of the team.
Yellow and red for the uniform.
Where's the hat?
And just when you think we're done, one more, if I could. I'd like to pass on some thanks and gratitude from the State Department and personally thank Lex Smith and David Kadovic and John Frew for their great work with the Department of Transport and Main Roads and the aesthetic maintenance programs across our city. The TMR Metropolitan Regional Director, Ron Michel, wrote to me recently to sing the praises of Council for its continued assistance and cooperation. He made particular mention of Lex and Dave Kadovic, saying the positive relationships and work undertaken by TMR and Council has resulted in a noticeable reduction in complaints since Council has taken on maintenance works for TMR. Mr. Michel also thanked Lex and John Frew for their ongoing efforts on East Coast Road on North Stradbroke Island. So on behalf of councillors in the Redland community, I'd like to thank officers for their continuing contribution. And you might remember that once upon a time we weren't so lucky having that work done, and TMR came back on board. And so making that relationship work for our community is really important, not only so they don't get complaints, but we continue to live in the best place in the world with nice streets and streetscapes as a result of that relationship. So, David, I don't have an award, but I'd like you to come up and perhaps we can get a photo with all of our officers that have been recognised this morning. Okay. Thank you, members in the public gallery, for your indulgence, but it's really important to acknowledge our great teamwork and commitment to our community. Okay, moving on. Item 5.1 is receipt confirmation of minutes from our general meeting minutes of the 26th of August 2015. Can I have a mover and seconder that they be confirmed? Moved Councillor Gleeson, seconded Councillor Hardman. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Also, we need the special meeting minutes for 3rd of September to be confirmed. Could I have a mover and seconder for those, please? Councillor Gleeson moved it. Councillor Tolte seconded. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Matters outstanding from minutes of a previous general meeting, I'd just like to ask the Chief Executive Officer to present those, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and good morning, councillors. There's a few little different things that will happen this morning. We've got three outstanding items. Two of those will be subject to a procedural motion for those. But the first one, before I ask Councillor Alan Beard to do those procedural motions, the first one is the making of local laws around the Koala area mapping. Councillors yesterday gave officers very clear directions in our workshop around the making of the local laws and the direction. They'll be subject of a paper coming forward to Council to amend the local laws, and that will also be subject to public consultation in line with Council's expectations around that. We expect that in 2 weeks' time to come forward, just depending upon drafting. The other two items I'll now hand over to Councillor Beard to put some procedural motions.
Thank you very much, CEO. Madam Mayor, I'd like to move item 6.2, the notice of motion from Councillor Edwards regarding footpath naming, that this item be taken from the table.
So moved. It's a procedural motion, so I don't require a seconder. So with that, councillors, I think that's correct, Joyce. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously.
Madam Mayor, I also would move that this item be withdrawn.
Moved. Councillor Beard seconded. This is withdrawing the item. He's taken it from the table and now he's withdrawing the item. So I will take a seconder for that one. Move Councillor Bolgari. No need to speak to it, councillors. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Councillor Beard, I think that's item 6.3.
6.3, Madam Mayor, the funding agreement for ferry operations to Sembe. I move that the matter be taken from the table.
I move Councillor Beard. That's a procedural motion. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously.
Okay. Madam Mayor, 6.3, I move the Council resolve that the Minister be requested to, one, undertake to review the ferry arrival times at Wynnum Creek to achieve a minimum of 10 minutes difference between scheduled arrival ferries and connecting bus departures. Two, include Sembe TransLink services into the recently announced fare review that seek a new fare path strategy that promotes fairness, addresses affordability and promotes patronage growth for public transport in southeast Queensland. And three, ensure that TransLink negotiations with the Sembe Ferry Services include options for increased vessel capacity and or frequency to address shortfalls in peak time travel demand.
Move Councillor Beard. We have debated this previously. Councillor Boglari has seconded it. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Beard?
Not necessary, Madam Mayor.
Any other discussion, councillors? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. All right, we now move on to public participation. I do believe we have some speakers, councillors, so I will need a mover and seconder that we move into a 15-minute public participation segment to allow members to address council on matters of public interest related to local government. Move Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Boglari. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. So just before I announce the first speaker to come up to the microphone, if I just might remind you that there is some signage around chambers regarding public participation at meeting, and it is Council's usual practice to require any person wishing to address the meeting to state their name and suburb or organisation they represent and the subject that they wish to speak about. The information is recorded in the minutes of the meeting, which is a public document available for inspection at Council's administration building and published on Council's website. Just a reminder, as I said earlier, the meeting is being recorded in audio video, and that by speaking you acknowledge and agree that the recording video may be placed in the public domain. Any person addressing a meeting will state their name and suburb or organisation they represent and the subject they wish to speak about. They will stand unless they are unable to do so, act and speak with decorum and be respectful and courteous, and make no comments directed at any individual, council employee, councillor or member of the public, ensuring that all comments relate to council as a whole. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to consider each application on its merits and consider any relevant matter in making my decision to allow or disallow a person to address the local government. Also, I give priority to members of the public who have made written application to the CEO to address the meeting and determine the maximum number of speakers based on the number of persons wanting to speak and the time available. Just another reminder that each speaker has a maximum of 5 minutes dependent on the number of speakers. And I'll just remind, if there's anyone in the who's wishing to address councillor, that councillors, and you're hearing impaired, please wait in your seat and we'll bring a microphone to you. So I have been given two written applications, the first one being from Mr. Gregory Barry of Hometown Villas. So is Greg here? Would you like to approach the microphone, Greg, and just a reminder that you need to start by stating your name and suburb or organisation that you represent, and you can begin when you're ready. Thank you.
Yes, good morning, Madam Mayor and councillors. My name is Greg Barry. I'm CEO and Director of Hometown Villas, which is an applicant in an application for a development approval, which is being considered by Council today for a property at 41 to 45 Benfer Road at Victoria Point. My suburb is Cleveland, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to address you this morning. I first became aware that Council, and in particular the local councillor, Mr. Hewlett, may have had some concerns about this application, and I made contact, and we subsequently met, and the concerns included the concerns of the next door neighbour.
Greg, we just want to get you to speak up a little bit. We're flying a little bit. Yeah, okay. Sorry about that.
No problem. The concerns that I became aware of were both of the council and also of the next door neighbouring property, which is St Rita's Church and School. I met with Councillor Hewlett and the principal, Anne McKinney, and Father Anthony Mellor, and with my daughter Camille and myself, and we established that the concerns that the school had related to particularly the prospect of there being views from the proposed development over the school grounds, the effect of traffic upon the development, and as a subset of that I gleaned issues relating to refuse collection, and particularly as that might relate to pick-up and drop-off times for school students, and an overall view of density generally and the effect on the school in that respect. Out of the first meeting we had, which was pleasant and courteous, we resolved to agree to engage a traffic consultant who subsequently submitted a report to council, and the school and church were involved in the process of providing instructions to that traffic consultant. Councillor Hewlett did express a concern that we may be proposing to build public housing on the site, and I reassured him that that wasn't what we were intending to do, and we later met with Councillor Hewlett at another completed development of our company's, which is situated at Finucane Road at Alexandra Hills, and we presented at that meeting and also at the earlier meeting something of our company's philosophy, which is to build to an affordable market demographic, to build 20% of our unit stock for with particular attention to design for people with disabilities. We also informed the school and Councillor Hewlett that our company takes on ongoing caretaking and letting responsibilities for a period of between 15 and 25 years, and that we take complete responsibility for matters which might arise out of concern to the school subsequent to construction if that happens. It was in our discussions with the school generally accepted that the site will inevitably be redeveloped for residential purposes at some time in the future, whether it's our company or not, and a collaborative approach to the issues was considered optimal for both parties. An unusual issue of concerns, which are completely understandable for the school, of high set units overlooking the school grounds was one which we were challenged by, and at a third meeting the traffic consultant, Mr. Richard Quinn, attended with the school, and he indicated that whilst there are legitimate concerns that the school might have about residents overlooking school grounds, there's a perhaps equal or perhaps corresponding benefit of positive surveillance where residents are in a position to oversee the school grounds, and that issue was stressed. Regarding refuse collection, I spoke personally with a representative of JJ Richards, and they indicated fairly sensibly that they would time their collection of refuse bins around times that wouldn't be inconvenient to school, because for them that would also be mutually inconvenient. So that seemed not to be a large issue. I wanted to merely stress that we have had that history of discussion, and we feel we've done our best to address the neighbours' concerns, and thank you for the opportunity to address you this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Barry. We have one other speaker that's indicated they'd like to address council this morning, Mrs. Julie Saunders from Brisbane Cathed. Julie, I think you might know the drill, but just name suburb or organisation you represent. You might start when you're ready. Thank you.
My name is Julie Saunders, and I'm the Manager of Planning Services of Brisbane Catholic Education. I'm here representing the principal of St Rita's Primary School, Anne McKenney, and Father Anthony, who is the parish priest of the Victoria Point Parish. And it is good to see some warm, and I won't say old, faces here. So, So good morning to the Mayor, Chair, councillors, to staff and officers and other members of the public gallery. Today I just wanted to raise some key points around the proposed development adjoining St Rita's Primary School. St Rita's is one of 137 schools in Brisbane Catholic Education. We educate over 71,000 students across our diocese, and we're the biggest employer outside the state government across the state of Queensland. From a mission perspective, we are far-reaching. The St Rita's community has around 550 students on site and is an important part of the community in supporting and building the Victoria Point and Redland Bay areas. We openly acknowledge the work and, I suppose, the openness of the applicant in trying to actually discuss and have dialogue around the issues and concerns that the school has expressed. We also acknowledge the work of the divisional councillor in trying to address and mitigate some of the issues the school has raised. With that in mind, we still do believe there are some significant concerns with the proposed development adjoining our school. Schools are important assets, and what I call reverse amenity is an important consideration for any proposal adjoining a school. So it's about the impacts of that proposed development on things such as play areas, casual observation, as you've indicated, of those areas, and protection of students, which is paramount from our mission perspective. A key thing for a school is traffic. The traffic issues, as we know, in schools always are a problem in those peak periods, and we are concerned that the proposed development and the intensity of that development will exacerbate those traffic issues that are already present. We believe that the intent of the urban residential sub-area zone for this location is transition. It's not intended to be a medium density zone, which we believe the proposed development is at a scale and intensity of. We also believe that the amount of potential residents on that site can also create issues of complaints and concerns that the school, in an ongoing sense, has to address. This is one of the most emerging and significant problems we are facing, particularly in the metropolitan Brisbane area, and it does take a lot of resources and time and commitment from schools to manage those relationships with adjoining properties that surround them. And I suppose my point around that is we have the opportunity here now, before that development occurs, to manage that in the best way possible. We acknowledge that the site has potential for development, but believe the scale and intensity is above what would be considered an appropriate adjoining a school development. Again, thank you for the time and for the consideration of our views in your deliberation of the application, and I look forward to hearing the outcome. Thank you again.
Thank you, Julie. I haven't been advised of any other speakers in the public gallery. I'll just check, is there anyone that would like to address council this morning? There being none, I'll have a mover and seconder that the meeting proceedings resume. Move Councillor Bishop. Seconded Councillor Gleeson. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. I might just ask if another councillor could present Councillor Edwards' petition on his behalf. Councillor Hewlett, I think it's sitting right next to you. Considering Councillor Edwards, I appreciate that. Councillor Edwards is ill, so if you wouldn't mind presenting that on his behalf.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have a petition here from residents regarding conservation zoning regulations for the house fire rebuild at 40 Fiji Street, Russell Island. The proposed motion that the petition is of an opera. Do you want to present that? You've got to accept that first, haven't you?
I need the motion, Councillor, so we can... Can you...
Motion, please. Yeah, the petition be accepted. Do you want me to propose? Mm-hmm. The petition is of an operational nature relating to planning, building and plumbing applications under the Sustainable Planning Act 2009 and Plumbing Drainage Act 2002, and be received and referred to the Chief Executive Officer for consideration. Thank you.
Okay, so moved by Councillor Hewlett, seconded by Councillor Tolte. I don't think we have anyone to speak to that, considering Councillor Edwards is absent, so I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? A motion is carried. Thank you, councillors. Carried unanimously, Joyce.
I haven't been advised of any presentations, councillors, so we'll go on to the order of business. Is there any motion to alter the order of business? There being none, I'll just remind you, councillors, of your material personal interest and conflict of interest responsibilities under the Local Government Act 2009 in relation to a councillor's material personal interest or conflict of interest about a matter to be discussed at a meeting. Summary of those responsibilities are in your agenda, councillors. So I'll move on to 11.1.1, and in Councillor Edwards' absence, I'll ask Kim Murray Hardman, Councillor Hardman, if you wouldn't mind presenting the report. Thank you. 11.1.1.
Yes, this is on behalf of Councillor Edwards. I'd like to move item 11.1.1, carryover budget review 2014-15 to 2015-16. I move the officer's recommendation to adopt the revised budget as written in the recommendation.
Move Councillor Hardman, seconded Councillor Beard. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hardman?
Each year there are items requiring to be carried over financial years, and this report presents the revised budget position of Council. The key financial ratios have also been updated and demonstrate the inclusion of the carryovers. The Council's capital expenditure program will increase to $92.3 million with some large projects carried forward, including wastewater treatment plants and sewage pump stations. Because of these projects, the asset sustainability ratio will actually exceed the stretch target for renewal components. A remarkable outcome. I recommend the adoption of the revised budget.
Any speakers against? Any comments, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Hardman, 11.1.2.
Okay, yes. Item 11.1.2, asset revaluation policy. I move the officer's recommendation to adopt the revision of the policy.
Move Councillor Hardman, seconded Councillor Tolte. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hardman?
This policy has been updated to reflect the updated reference to the Local Government Regulations 2012 to state Council's position of valuing plant and equipment, work in progress and tangibles on the cost basis, and to clarify the application of index valuations where there is movement plus and minus is 5%. There is only minor changes to this policy.
Any speakers against, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.2, if I could ask Councillor
Mayor, if I could please move the officer's recommendation for item
11.2. Moved by Councillor Beard, seconded by Councillor Gleeson. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Beard?
Briefly, Madam Mayor, we're all aware of the very short time frame for the cessation of mining on North Stradbroke Island. I think most of us would recognise that the most obvious emerging industry on North Stradbroke Island, given the closure of the mining industry, is the tourism industry. And subsequently, Council has prepared a funding submission to the Queensland Government North Stradbroke Island Economic Transition Fund to provide very good quality tourism-based signing for the island that will help to grow that tourism industry in years to come. And so I think this is this has been going since 2013. There's been a lot of work done on this, and it looks like a very, very good project. It's valued at over $2 million. The state government has set up a $20 million transition fund, and this motion seeks council's endorsement to make this funding submission to that fund.
Any speakers against? Comment, Councillor Ogilvie?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's all there in the report, and Councillor Beard's done an excellent job in introducing it. So I just wanted to put on record my appreciation of the stewardship of Officer Luke Wallace, who did a great job, and Monique Whitewood in particular, who was the one that made it all happen.
Thank you. I think we would all endorse that. It's been a large job with multiple stakeholders, and bringing them all together to get agreement is a significant achievement. So I think it's also important to note that the responsibility, it's not just about tourism signage, about directional signage, DTMR, so that when people get to beautiful North Stradbroke Island, they know how to get around. So it is pretty significant. And it's already been informally presented via officers and myself to ministers across the various departments. So we hope now with this formal endorsement that they'll understand the urgency and make sure that it's right up front in their proposal as they start spending that $20 million and hopefully some more at North Stradbroke Island. With that, I'll hand back to Councillor Bede if you'd like to sum up.
Not necessary, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
With that, I'll put the motion, Councillors. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. The motion is carried. Those in favour? We have Councillor Bishop, Councillor Beard, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Hardman, Councillor Ogilvie, Councillor Boglari, Councillor Williams. Councillor Gleeson is voting in the negative and Councillor Edwards is absent due to illness. Okay, moving on to the next item, Councillor Tolte, 11.3.1, if you would mind presenting that report, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I call Councillor's attention to item 11.3.1, decisions made under delegated authority for Category 1, 2 and 3 development applications, and ask that these be noted.
So moved. Seconder for that, Councillors? Councillor Hardman, would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
That's all in the report. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Any other questions or comments, Councillors? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.3.2, Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I call Councillors' attention to item 11.3.2 of the appeals list, as was current on the 24th of August 2015, and ask that this be noted.
Move, Councillor Tolte. Seconded. Councillor Beard, would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
No, it's fairly static. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Questions or comments, Councillors? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Councillors, item 11.3.3. Councillor Tolte, would you like to present?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I believe the local area councillor would like to present an alternative motion on this matter, so I'll give him the floor.
Councillor Hewlett?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I've sent the motion to Joyce to put up on the screen if she has it yet.
You're moving that motion, Councillor?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
A seconder for that motion, Councillors? Oh, sorry? I'll give you a moment to read it, Councillor.
I have sent it to all Councillors. So.
Seconded, Councillor Tolte. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hewlett?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Firstly, I must acknowledge Julie Saunders from CathEd. Thank you for your talk, Julie, and for your assistance, and thank you to Greg Barry for speaking today. Look, as Mr. Barry said, I have been out to a similar development at Alex Hills. The only difference is that in Alex Hills, the zone that these units were built in was medium density. Now, medium and probable solutions, medium dictates, density dictates one dwelling per 200 square metres. This is a UR zone, sub-area 1, which encourages units of 1 in 400 with the use of preferably detached dwellings. My concern is the density. I have no problem with the actual quality of the actual buildings themselves. The ones I saw at Alex Hills were on a main road, Finucane Road, backing onto Finucane Road, with Aldi across the road and transport very accessible. These units were in front of a primary school. There was a previous application for 7 units back in 2002 that was allowed to lapse. Now, I know that the planning scheme is very... Look, I feel like I've done a planning degree in the last 2 days, but and a planning scheme is very hard to understand. I find there's contradictions and conflicts right through the whole document, and I hope it's something we can address as we move forward with the planning scheme. But my issue is the probable solution, 1 in 400, if we went 1 in 400, there'd be plenty of room for setbacks, there'd be plenty of room for open space, there'd be more room for off-street parking, there'd be a better design so that the units wouldn't have to overlook the school, and yet we're looking at this one that's a medium density on a UR1 zone, and we've got all these issues that have arisen. We've got a compromised setbacks. We're over the building site probable solutions on the site development, we're up to 39%, so that's 10% over. So my issue is we find like we're just trying to accommodate. Like, planning is very subjective. I may look at something and hate it. You may look at something and love it. The community may look at something and think that's not acceptable. We've had a petition submitted by quite a few of the parents, local community. They're unhappy with this development, and I'm not happy with the building or the developer, and I really appreciate Mr. Barry's openness in coming to the school and speaking to the PNC and the priest and the principal. It's been quite a comfortable journey. However, just in the interest of the skilled community, I can't support this today, and I've got those reasons up there relating to density, privacy, traffic. There's things that it doesn't meet the specific outcomes in, so I'd look for your support today to refuse this application. Thank you.
Speaker against the motion. This is a refusal motion, councillors. Just the motion that's been moved is a refusal motion for this application. Councillor Elliott.
Thanks, Mayor. I concur, can I say, with Councillor Hewlett. As I said, when we launched our planning scheme the other day for public consultation, it is only a guide. You're not quite sure what you're going to get, and this is one of those. Unfortunately, I think we'll the applicant, and I'm one of the councillors from Alexandra Hills, the applicant has an excellent product. I've sent it at Alex Hills to rave about it, tell people about it, it's great, it's there, they do a good job. This is our own trappings. I looked at it, it was raised, we've talked about the garbage thing. I'm not convinced, and we've asked for a review of that, that we share bins. And you see some around, I wouldn't want to be sharing with some of the bins, I say. You just, somebody's going to miss out. And I think that's going to cause internal problems as much as higher densities in some cases. I'll be supporting this because I think in 2 weeks' time our lawyers...
Sorry, councillor, supporting the refusal or voting against the refusal?
I'm voting against the refusal.
So you just said you're supporting...
Yeah,
my apologies, just making sure you're talking to them against the motion. Yeah,
exactly. Yes. No, I won't be supporting this because I think we'll end up in court. In 2 weeks' time, our lawyer will be here, general counsel, we call them these days, will be back saying you're going to lose this big time. So, unfortunately, this is what's happening in performance-based. If we want to change this, we need to go to prescriptive. The only people who can do that are the state governments. Labor and Liberal are both the same. So if the community wants to rise up against the governments, that's what you've got to do. Thank you.
Speaker for the motion. Councillor Beard.
Madam Mayor, I'm going to speak for the motion, although I agree entirely with Councillor Elliott. And I agree with Councillor Hewlett as well. We've faced this situation collectively in the last 3.5 years. We've all been here and done this many times before. And in the years gone by, I was here when we created the 2006 planning scheme. And I'm the first to tell you that the outcome of the 2006 planning scheme was not what I envisaged at the time that I voted for it. And I'm sure, Madam Mayor, you were here also. And Councillor Elliott, none of us envisaged the outcome that we would get from that planning scheme, and it wasn't entirely the fault of the planning scheme. It was almost entirely the fault of the state government and their move to performance-based planning, which took away the prescriptive elements of the planning scheme. And so Councillor Lee is absolutely right. I think defending this refusal is going to be very, very difficult. We would all love to see one unit. We would all love to see one unit per 400 square metres if that's what the planning scheme says. But unfortunately, the planning scheme will be overridden by performance-based planning. So may I, Madam Mayor, request a comment from David Jeans, Manager of Assessment, to give us his understanding of these reasons for refusal, whether they have any likelihood of being supported in the court.
I'm assuming that, David, you've had enough time to see the refusal planning grounds.
I've briefly seen the reasons for refusal. I'm not going to comment on prospects in appeal because that wouldn't be the right thing to do at this point in time. That's okay.
Generally speaking, if you can make any comment on the reasons for refusal.
We've given council an assessment and a recommendation, an assessment against the planning scheme. If council has an alternative view, that's council's right to do so.
I think it's fair to say that the officers have given you a recommendation with their planning reasons, and very difficult for them to speak otherwise, I would suggest. So we'll leave it at that, I think, councillor, if that's okay. Any other speakers for... No, that was it's against again, I think, now we're up to against. Any other speakers against the motion? Comment, Councillor Ogilvie?
Madam Chair, if I could, yeah. I find it hard to believe that we couldn't make this stick in court. This is, at best for me, a line ball approval. It's not the same zone. It's not the right zone for what's being proposed. It's a completely different zone. And even if you were to assume that it was the right zone, it is still under the density... it's still a higher density than what would be if it were that zone. So... I mean, it's two strikes And then the third one is when you look through, as I think Councillor Hewlett has established quite nicely in the refusal and the reasons for the refusal, the various desired environmental outcomes and so forth, the various things that are said about that, those zones, it's pretty clear to me that the intent is there for low density, detached character type of housing. So, I think, you know, talk about lines in the sand. If you're going to walk away from this one and say, oh, we can't defend this one, then don't bother having a town plan, because you can't defend anything. Don't bother having zonings. Don't bother having density prescriptions. Don't even bother going through a consultation over the next few months, because this one, to me, sits outside the scheme quite clearly. And I would hope that the courts would, you know, give some kind of spine to, you know, the intents that councils might set down in their town plans. My only thing that I want to add to that statement is that I feel sorry for the developer in this situation. This is a very late stage for a developer who's probably invested quite a lot of money and time into the process to be getting a no. Surely we can be doing better. I don't know where the encouragement points were, or the indications were given or not given in the chain that has led to this particular. We're now at the end of the chain, but we got to, in my opinion, we need to be thinking about that and getting ahead of the game. I don't know whether it's mixed messages. You know, we're open for business now. We're not open for business. What kind of messages are we trying to send to the development community if we get to a point at this late stage where we're now, as a council, fairly positively sending a refusal?
Councillor Elliott, did you want to comment on that?
No,
I'm just going to just be. I want to just a word of advice, Councillor Ogilvie. A word of encouragement that the statement that you've made, I don't think would reflect fairly on the officers who are required to professionally assess these applications according to the scheme. It's obviously the risk that anyone takes, and I would suggest that the comments made by Councillor Elliott, where we talk about performance-based planning, and Councillor Beard, is that it doesn't provide certainty for anybody, not our community, and not for people who want to invest in our city. Of course, we want to encourage the right sort of development, and being open for business is exactly about that. But I want to also remind you, Councillor Ogilvie, that we don't have a choice whether we can or do or don't have a city plan. That is a state legislative requirement, as is how we set out the plan and as how we assess it. So as Councillor Elliott very eloquently said, what we need to do if we want to change this is we have to lobby our state government as to how performance-based planning can be mixed up with prescriptive planning so that we can actually provide some sort of certainty in certain areas that we feel is important to our local community. And of course, there's lots of allegations and accusations going around when officers do their job according to the scheme. It's up to us, and we're doing that right now by reviewing our city plan to make sure we can be as prescriptive as possible within the scheme that we're putting out consultation next week. It doesn't protect us from what might be an appeals court, but at the same time, that's an option open to anyone who might be a submitter or who might be an investor. So I just wanted to make sure that there's no suggestion that officers have encouraged anyone to go to this point. This is the process.
Can I reply to that, Madam Chair? There was no suggestion by me that the officers have encouraged or otherwise. What I'm saying, I suppose, is that in a process that is sometimes political, the development assessment process, that the political interventions need to be considered somewhere along that chain so that the developer doesn't get to an end of a chain of events and find that the political is now intervening and giving them an answer that they didn't get earlier in the chain of events. Now, we do have our portfolio chair. We do have local councillors. All of those are at some point or another in that chain of events involved in the application. So to see an applicant get to a huge range of consultancy reports, response to information requests, etc., and find that they're getting a decision that's going to run against.
Okay, Councillor Ogilvie, I think you've had
somewhere along the line
you've had your response, Councillor. Actually, the process is right here in this council. Everybody has an opportunity to call an application, and if you're suggesting that we should make a political decision before we get informed information from our officers, I think that might be chicken and egg stuff, Councillor. I think you need to understand all the realities
of where this might lead based on a refusal or an approval, and you have to have the technical data to do that. That's what the officers have done. In this council, you have that opportunity to call it in. This is part of the process, and that's why we're debating it right now. I'm not quite sure if the CEO or they want to respond to that, but unfortunately that is the performance-based system that we're working within. Did you want to comment on that at all, David, CEO?
Just very briefly, I mean, you're absolutely right, Madam Mayor, that council has to have the assessment before you to make a decision. In the absence of that assessment, your decision could be challenged as being invalid.
All right. Any other speakers against the motion? Is it pertaining to the motion in front of you, Councillor? No, we're not. We've had that discussion. Sorry. If you want to talk to the motion, I'm happy. There's been response. Well, you're here to, if you want to speak in relation to the motion, I'm all out, but I'm not having a to and fro. We've had that discussion, and there's nothing that's going to change the views of your colleagues in here by having further discussion on that point. Councillor? Yes, I'm taking comments. That's fine. Of the motion.
Thank you. This is, I agree with Councillor Ogilvie. It's very sad that I'm actually going to support the refusal, and yet I totally support the developer in his philosophy and the reasoning behind why he's doing this. It is a great idea in the way he plans his developments to ensure people with lesser abilities, people that are aged, have affordable housing. And I commend him on that and his team. I went out and actually saw the ones in Councillor Elliott's division on Finucane Road, and I could live there myself. And that is one of the tests I always give. There are planning grounds, and then also, would I like to live here? What was the impact on me? And honestly, they're a top standard. But when we're in here, we're also voting on planning reasons. And in my division, with a lot of infill I've had, my residents are very uptight about the amount of infill and the density. So it would be hypocritical for me, because I agree with the philosophies of a developer, that I would now vote for this when that density is nearly double what it should be. I also have concerns with the landscaping of the open space, and I just wish it was a little bit closer to the correct density. Because I actually applaud the developer and his philosophy on what he is doing, and I actually regret that I have to vote against this particular one.
Correction, Councillor
Elliott. It's in Councillor Beard's area, if I could just put it that way. Councillor Beard said it was in my area, it's actually in Councillor Beard's area. I see it every day of the week, but it's just in Councillor Beard's area, just for correction.
Thank you. Councillor Bishop, you speaking to the motion? Comment?
Yes, comment. Just acknowledging that absolutely the dilemma that we're in, and as elected representatives making a decision at this stage, and it is a late stage, is a regrettable one, and it has some bearing, I would say, to do with...
Point of order, Councillor Elliott.
This is not a late stage. This is our time. We've had a workshop on this. This is our time.
So clarification, if I may, just at the late stage in terms of the developer.
I've allowed a comment, and we've explained the process, and this is a process that is particular to this council, so you can talk to the refusal councillor and the planning grounds for the refusal.
And as councillors, our involvement in this process under the delegated portfolio system means that there is possibly some decisions that get made and discussions that get had before we are fully aware of the...
Point of order, Madam Mayor. What's this council's
suggestion? No, councillors, and that is misleading. In fact, every councillor, every Monday morning, receives a list of all applications. And every councillor, unlike other councillors, and other councils, by the way, has an opportunity to call in an application. So I'll ask you to retract that point, councillor, and get on with talking with the refusal proposal behind you. Every councillor in this Redland City Council has an option to call in any application. And when those applications are made, let me make it very clear, on the Monday morning, every councillor gets a list. And they have to go through the process. And if you think a political decision should be coming before the advice of officers, who are the officers who provide the explanation according to our planning scheme in place,
it would be a free-for-all, I'm afraid. So you need to have that advice before you can make an informed decision. Under the Act, you are required to make an informed decision. Let me make that clear. So, Councillor, now I'm happy if you make a comment on the refusal motion behind you, but we're not going to have to and fro about the process. That's a time, another time, another discussion.
It is another time, another discussion. I'd just like to I'll withdraw the statement that we are not involved in that earlier part of the process. Indeed, we are. The collective approach that we, and the signal that we send collectively, is the regrettable thing, that we are about to send a collective signal.
Councillor, are you speaking to the motion? This is your last warning. Speak to the motion, not the process, and not to the politics.
This application has resonances which will impact my community too, and I do believe that it is appropriate that we collectively send a signal that does refer to planning grounds, that addresses the impact on our community, and I think that's what we're here for. So thank you very much, and I will support this, and reluctantly, for the impact on the developer.
Are there any other comments, councillors? There being none, I'll hand back to Councillor Hewlett to sum up.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Again, I'd like to thank Mr. Barry and Julie for coming in today. As I said, I have no problem with this development in the appropriate zoning, but I think there's an expectation in the community that the zones have relevance and the probable solutions have relevance. So having said that, I'd just like to move the motion. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Put the motion, councillors. Those in favour? We have Councillor Bishop, Councillor Beard, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Hardman, Councillor Ogilvie, Councillor Boglari. Those against, we have Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Williams. The motion is carried. Thank you, councillors. Thank you. 11.4, Councillor Gleeson, would you like to present?
Yes, please, Madam Mayor. If I can move item 11.5.1, response to a petition.
4.1, Councillor. 11.4.1. I'm not quite sure. Just before you move that motion, Councillor Elliott, have you provided the portfolio chair with the proposed? Yes. Just checking. Okay. Councillor Gleeson, 11.4.1 is a response to petition playground area, Alexander Hills. Oh, okay. My apologies. It might be my numbering. Oh. Not my fault, agenda's fault. So it is actually just response to petition Alexander Hills Playground. That'll be enough.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move whatever the number is, but it's a response to a petition for a playground at Alexander Hills. But I'd like to move it with an amended motion, please, that Joyce has. Thank you, Joyce. Madam Mayor, just point out, if I can, dot point two, for the division, possibly should be from the Division 7 Infrastructure Fund.
Is that the total amendment?
Can I? That's...
No, I think there's an amendment.
Yeah. Thanks, may I put?
Well, we haven't got a motion yet,
so I just got a... Councillor, is that the amendment, the amended motion you want to
move? I have a second with the amendment. That's what I said, No, get somebody to second on
that. Yeah, I'll do that. Councillor Gleeson's moved it. Councillor Beard has seconded it. Councillor Gleeson, would you like to speak to it?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'll leave it for the Divisional Council, I think. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Gleeson, through you, Mayor. All I'd like to ask is, Council, that in one, in light of an email the Mayor sent out I hadn't seen, in the conversation between the constituents, the letter sent to the Mayor, they said a fort. They prefer a fort was in the wording, and all I'd like to where we said a small swing set or a small fort, F-O-R-T. If we could put that in, that's just sort of leaves it open. I've only just seen that, so that's just the change. So it's all, that's all. Yeah, well, it's you can take only out. It's just so, one or the other, that's all.
So, Councillor, would you like to move that amendment to the motion?
I didn't move that.
So that's moved, Councillor Elliott. Seconded Councillor Gleeson. So
should pick somebody else.
I should have, yeah. I'll let you speak to that amendment,
Councillor Elliott, that's being seconded.
Well, just speaking to the amendment, it's just that the, as I've only seen that lately, email that came from yourself in late correspondence, that they mentioned a fort in there, so that's why I'm making that amendment. That's all about amendment. I'm happy to talk to it once the amendment goes through, if it goes through.
All right. I'm just making sure I've got the technical aspects right, Councillor. Are there any speakers against the amendment? There being none, I'll put a vote on the amended motion. Those in favour? Those against? So that amended motion now becomes a motion. And now, Councillor, is there any further discussion to that? Amended motion? Yep. Okay, Councillor Elliott.
Thanks, Councillors, for agreeing to that small change. This is not an easy one. This is a highly constrained site of 900 square metres. It's mostly treed. As we serve the SEPTED principles in there, we put that in there. It's the safety of residents of my concern. I'm never easy putting, and if you see the map, I don't know if we can bring the map up at all, The block is not a rectangular configuration. It's not cleared or anything like that. It's a difficult site. Not everybody's going to be happy. I hate putting playground or any equipment next to houses because while it's okay now, the people there enjoy it. Suddenly somebody sells out. Things change. Somebody else comes in and next moment. A local councillor is asked to remove a piece of equipment which is causing annoyance. It could be on a Saturday afternoon when a shift worker is trying to have a sleep. I've had to do this once before early in my career here took out a whole park grounds, lighting, everything, because it became such an annoyance at 3 a.m. in the morning. I'm not saying that will happen here, but that's certainly things I've told the residents. So I don't think there's much more I can say. As I said, not everybody would be happy about this, but I think a small application there of, you know, a small fort or a small swing set, that's all that's really needed. You know, it's not close to any bigger parks that we can access, sort of thing like that. But certainly the constraints of this site, that's virtually what we're limited to. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Councillor. Any speakers against? Any other comments? Okay, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Bishop, Gleeson, Beard, Tolte, Elliott, Hewlett, Hardman, Boglari, Williams. Those against? Councillor Aguirre.
Thank you, councillors.
Councillors, there are no mayoral minutes or notices of motion that I'm aware of. Councillor Boglari has suggested an urgent business without notice. Councillor Boglari has, I believe, distributed that, councillors. So with that, firstly I need to have councillors decide whether they're happy to accept that motion. So we've got to move it for Councillor Boglari. I'm assuming you're moving this urgent motion. So moved by Councillor Boglari, seconded by Councillor Bishop. You might just want to discuss, Councillor, the urgency before we talk about your proposed motion.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor, to councillors. This definitely is urgent business for our community. At present, I have a house in 6 Fernbourne Road, Wellington Point. You will see that it's actually on our agenda today. 6 units have now been approved on this site. At the moment, there is a beautiful cottage there which has an integral part of the Wellington Point development as it was owned by Gilbert Burnett. He was the manager of the property at Ormiston House and later on went and bought all this land at Wellington Point and became the Trafalgar Vale property. This cottage was his first home, and though I can't actually find when it was built, it was definitely before 1888 because at that stage he went on to build Whepstead. And then with the collapse around 1888, he lost Whepstead and he built another home back down in Fernbourne Road. In this area, he built a mill and he actually became the largest country sawmill in the colony. And all that history is down in this Fernbore area with the tram tracks across Jeff Skinner wetland just near the cottage, which they used to cart the timber
so
from the wharf.
Before you get too carried away back to talking about the motion.
Well, it's very urgent because I need
you
to...
You just need to establish urgency at this point and we'll take a vote on the urgency and then you'll be able to put
the
motion.
But the importance of the house isn't recognised until you understand this heritage that all goes with it. They're married together. And that this house was the first house in the area on the Trafalgar Vale property built by Gilbert. And now with the actual development approved on the site, the owner is happily working with myself and community to try and get the house relocated. But unless a very wealthy individual comes along to move it to private property or council actually steps in, you know, we could lose this piece of our heritage. And I have spoken with officers and there are various...
Councillors, you're not speaking to the motion, you're speaking to the urgency.
I am, because the officers are actually saying that what we need to do is get something through council urgently that they can act on it.
We need to take a vote on that first, but I want to alert councillors to a change that wasn't presented to me in the proposed motion, which has been added since... Which is the Willard's
farm.
Now, Council, no.
Look, can I just explain why that's been added urgently? It was just due to a decision that happened yesterday, and I wasn't aware when I initially wrote the motion that was going to.
My understanding is that's going through a separate process currently. So, can we just first establish urgency, councillors? We have a mover and seconder about the urgency. Are you happy to support the urgent question, councillor?
I'd like an officer to give me more information before I go any further on the urgency of this, and is there a condition in the application and things in the approval and things like that? I need all that information.
Can you respond?
The approval of 6 Fernbourne was given because it was a code assessable development. There was no heritage listing, either state or local, so nothing for officers to take into account. So there's no condition requiring relocation because the condition would have been unreasonable because there's no heritage listing.
Okay. So can I ask then through you to Councillor Bogart, what's the owner doing with it then? He wants it off the side, I guess.
He does want it removed and he's happy to work with community or council to have that happen, but he also wants to do his development. So there is a very short 3-month perhaps time frame for us to work out some way of preserving this history. And I was going to wait until the next general meeting, but now that this has actually been approved, there is an urgency because if council actually has to step in and perhaps come up with some sort of policy or strategy where we can assist. There are community members that would like to set up a heritage village somewhere within the city. The museum's all on board with something like that. But it really needs... I can't waste another 2 weeks go by until the next general meeting, hence the urgency.
Can I just ask through to the officers as well, in regards to the Willard's property, there is no approval at this point in time? Approval by officers of council?
No.
And there's still, I would understand, some information required?
The approval hasn't been given for the Willards site. I believe the Heritage Council made a decision yesterday not to list that property, but we haven't seen formal notice of that at this point.
But can I just also, David, ask the time frame for an approval? I'm establishing urgency here, that we're still debating that element and why we've added the Willards home. I would think the urgency is different from Fernbourne House than it is for Willards from an assessment point of view, because obviously the approval has been given for Fernbourne but hasn't been given yet for Willard.
I'd need to check with officers, but I believe we're still at the information request stage on the Willard site, so the applicant needs to respond to the information request and then we have up to 2 months to make a decision.
So the urgency is not the same?
It would appear that way, yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, councillors, we're voting on the urgency. On the urgency? Sure.
First of all, just a point of order regarding this motion. Councillor Baglari has, subsequent to sending the first motion added the Willard Farm, because I had proposed that I would move an amendment, and my amendment was actually requesting a management plan for the relocation of the homestead, for officers to consider that. And I'm just I just want to make sure that that's captured, and if it needs to be separate, I just want to ask as a point of order whether Councillor Bagliari is intending to move this as it stands, or whether it's actually it's not a point of order. Okay, so we're just dealing with this as it is at the moment. I'll
we're
speak
dealing
to the urgency in a second.
Sorry, we're dealing with the urgency. I'm a little bit disappointed that we've changed the motion, and we
well, that's
had a
what
chance
I'm clarifying.
The urgency is not the same for both, and if there is an information request, there's a certain amount of time that we have to deal with that adequately through the office.
So I'm just asking for a point of clarity around that change, if I can. Can I please understand the change, because that motion, urgent motion, was proposed before an inclusion of the Willard homestead?
Well, it wasn't formally proposed, it was just distributed. So
it was distributed, and it was...
I much prefer, councillors, if we kept the two items separate. There is time to deal with
I'm
it.
I'm asking for clarification.
So it'll be up to the mover of the motion, but we are just establishing urgency at this point.
We just received an email. So, councillors, as a point of clarification, at 9:48 we received the approval to amend the motion from Councillor Wendy Bolgari to include Willard's Farm, and that's all we've got.
Councillors, I'm in your hands. I'd like to see the items dealt with separately. Councillor Bolgari?
I seek advice through either the CEO or General Manager for Governance. There is urgency, I believe, around Willard's Farm because the stop work notice expires on Thursday as well. Even though we have the word of both owners of these properties that they don't intend to go ahead, there is actually nothing in place. So to me, there is also urgency on the Willard Farm. But if it means that the motion's not going to get up, I would seek advice on removing the Willard Farm, unfortunately, from this motion.
Well, you've heard from David that there is no approval in place, so I'll have officers respond as to what can happen at Willard's Farm at this point. I don't think that stop works can... They need to go through various processes before they can do anything.
It's difficult to comment because we haven't seen the formal notice from state government, but if what we believe is that the Heritage Council have decided not to list this, then I believe the stop work order would be lifted, which would remove the sort of interim protection measures. But as I understand it, yeah, there is an undertaking that's been given by the property owner, which was considered by the Heritage Council. So the undertaking was that the property would be relocated as opposed to being demolished.
One minute, Councillor. Can I just ask, to have the property removed, the buildings removed, would they have to go through a process of council to do so?
No, that's just the building approval to remove and relocate.
Councillor Elliott, I'll come back to you, Councillor Bishop.
Thanks, Mayor. Question. In one, it says the preservation of the heritage property. Well, that hasn't been established, so they're not heritage property, they're normal houses then. If what David said, if this comes through from the government, it's just another house. And is Fernwood Road a heritage?
I'm conscious that we're debating the motion now, so let's just get a vote on the urgency of the items. Those in favour of... you already have, Councillor. We just... Councillor, it's fine.
I haven't spoken to the urgency.
You did speak to it, Councillor. Sure.
Thank you very much for that indulgence. Yes, speaking to the urgency, yesterday the Heritage Council did rule that the state significance of the Willard Farm was not upheld, despite the Heritage Department recommending listing on the State Heritage Register. On Thursday, the stop order lapses on the property. What that does, and I also need to acknowledge that the owners have given an undertaking that the approval from the Heritage Council was given on the understanding that the owners would work with community to work to not demolish the buildings for a six-month period, and to try and find ways for the houses and the buildings to be relocated. I think there is urgency in this particular matter, particularly relating to the Willards, because the stop order removes any protection from the state. It then falls back in terms of insurance on the owners. The house is currently untenanted. The potential for willful damage, for arson or any untoward activity is quite significant. I believe that we do need to have a management process. The house has been identified previously in three, now four, heritage assessments as being a significant site. And there's great community interest in its restoration and relocation now that's been decreed. And I believe that I'm receiving telephone calls now from people asking, can I buy that property? Can I have it, please? Others are proposing that they have council support for its relocation to a particular precinct. And I think we need to be clear as officers, from our officers, and have guidance as to what our heritage proposal is to ensure that the acknowledged heritage value of the property is managed in the most appropriate manner. And I think it is urgent that we do that as soon as possible.
Okay, so councillors, we're establishing the urgency. Louise, did you want to comment?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Absolutely, it should be a discussion about whether this is an urgent item or not. A suggestion would be that those two items should be separated out. We did get an email notification from Councillor Boglari prior to the meeting about a notice of motion. It does say in the standing order, wherever possible, that should occur. I would suggest the two should be dealt with separately to determine are they urgent notices of urgent matters of business, and then decide what to do with them if they are, in fact, urgent matters.
So, councillors, this is why discussion prior to the meeting would have saved us a lot of grief in here, I think. Councillors, I'm going to establish the urgency. I won't separate them. I'll establish the urgency of this motion, and if necessary, we can accept another motion as urgent business. So I'll put the motion. If you're happy, it's been moved and seconded as urgent business. It was moved by Councillor Boglari, and it was seconded by Councillor... Oh, wasn't it? My part? It wasn't.
It was Paul Bishop.
Councillor Bishop seconded to accept urgent business.
Yes?
Yeah. So I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Bishop, Councillor Beard, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Hardman, Councillor Ogilvy, Councillor Boglari, Councillor Williams. Those against? We have Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Tolte. With that, we can now debate the motion, councillors. So... Councillor Boglari, you have the motion. Now you can speak to that motion once it's moved and seconded as appears on the board. So it's moved. Sorry.
Mayor, is that the whole motion I'm seeing there? Is there anything further down?
The 2 points, councillors.
Just the 2 points. I'm just looking for the rest. Is that just...
The reasons...
the history lesson, is it?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, right. Thank you.
I think that was just that... I'm assuming that hasn't changed since it was distributed, that element at the bottom. So that remains the same as what was distributed prior to the meeting this morning. Okay, so Councillor Boglari is moving that motion as it stands. Move Councillor Boglari, seconded Councillor Bishop. Councillor Boglari, would you like to speak to it?
Thank you. Thank you for accepting the urgency of this, which I think is very obvious. Redlands is unique for many reasons, our natural environment, but also our cultural and heritage. We've still got some, and a lot of areas would be very jealous of what we have here. Just this morning, briefly, I picked up books at home, and I've got a book from back in about 2009 on Minjeriba, the indigenous story of North Stradbroke. Then we've got other various stories about Mount Cotton and our European settlers. And then one I found recently, halfway around the world, Italians in the Redlands. We're rich. We're rich in so many things. And heritage is one of our biggest assets here for tourism, economic development, as well as just the simple warm and fuzzy that it gives us. In Wellington Point, Gilbert Burnett was a visionary from back then. He employed 40 people just at the mill, which must have been a huge business back in 1888. And people still talk about Gilbert and Ormiston House, their various heritage sites, but they're not noted anywhere. We haven't got a heritage walk around this area, which is something we've been working on for on and off for a couple of years. So preserving these houses won't always happen in the positions that they are, with development and zoning the way it is. So we have to have some sort of policy updated on our heritage and a strategy in place so that these heritage sites, both Indigenous and European, are protected in some way, that they can be saved on the sites or they can be moved to an area. And perhaps out of this, a heritage village will evolve in whatever place council finds suitable, where the museum and other people in the community will support. But preserving our heritage, I believe, is a passion for most of Redlands, and it's definitely a passion of mine and I believe most of the councillors. So I would really appreciate support in with what I've asked here for a workshop so we actually get going on this, because we have got two sites which have actually brought this all to a climax for us.
Can I just ask officers in regards to the motion? Sorry, and I'll go to the speaker against in a second. Heritage property may not be the right terminology. It might need to actually say heritage house, because I'm assuming the approval. Okay, so. All right, well, I'll have a speaker against. We'll let the debate go and I'll get the advice.
Comment,
Councillor Elliott?
The two are in conflict. It's not the first two have been identified. They're not heritage. I don't have a problem supporting Councillor Boglary in two, because it's, but they're not related. It's not the second one's not going to save the first ones because they're not heritage. They've been declared ordinary assets by the sound of it. The second one, I don't have a problem. I don't think it's an urgent workshop you need to have. It's a workshop you need to have. And I know what happened last time when we went near heritage. Council walked away from it big time. So, I'm happy to talk to her, but I don't think it's urgent in that respect. And I'm not talking about an urgency motion, but I'm happy to support it, but they're two different things, and I don't think the word heritage is misleading the public. In the first sentence, they're not heritage properties.
Councillor Boglary, I'll let you respond.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Heritage is heritage. I have not said it is heritage listed. It is just a heritage house, like a heritage scar tree or a heritage site. It is just an adjective. I have not said it is actually listed. I've just used it to describe it. I could have said the old house, but it doesn't quite mean that it's got any history value, because there's a lot of old houses. So this is an old house with history. Therefore, it is a heritage house. I haven't said it's actually listed. The reason why there's urgency is that one has got a development application which is already approved, the other one has got a development application in. We are just fortunate this time that both owners of the properties are happy to work with us. I know previously when heritage was actually mentioned in the city, 2005 or 6, a house disappeared overnight. And that can, just the one that I found out about. So in this case, we're just fortunate that we've got both houses even still standing, because that could have already have happened and we've got nothing in place. Now, I have spoken to officers who have suggested various places that the Fernbourne House could be moved to, even just temporarily, until we find a more permanent site that's suitable. But just to do that move temporarily onto some council land somewhere to save it, it has to be a direction, and they have to be able to do it with a strategy or a policy. They can't just do it. And that's why it is so urgent.
I might just have officers comment on the terminology and make sure everyone's comfortable with that.
I think it is fair to say that a property can have heritage value but doesn't necessarily have to have heritage listing. So I think they are two separate things. So I think the word heritage is fine in the context it's being used. I guess the question for council is, even though they're not heritage listed, do you want to relocate those buildings? And that's what the council needs to consider.
And the terminology around property, should it be in fact house?
Well, that's probably fair to say, because I don't think we're going to be relocating the property. It would be the building.
There you go. We might just consider, if that's okay, to have that clarified. So that would be Heritage House. Are you happy to accept that, that the intent's the same? It doesn't really require...
Yes, sorry, by property I actually meant house. I doesn't change the intent. Thank you.
Councillor Bishop?
Look, I take Officer Louise Rassan's point and I would like to ask councillors' views on a proposed amendment. And what I'd like to just flag is my request to Councillor Boglari was for an amendment to include an officer report on the best option for managing the relocation of the Willard Farm homestead located at 302 Old Cleveland Road, Birkdale. That's really, for me, where I believe there is urgency and importance, and I wonder whether that should, just as a point of clarification, if I could, just to work out whether that should be an amendment that includes its own dot point. An urgent report for options for the preservation of the Heritage House. It's actually about the relocation and the negotiation. Okay, I'll speak to it in a moment, but I just if people feel as though that's covered, the officer's clear
about
that.
It's covered in the first stop point.
Okay, great. Then can I speak to it? Thank you so much. It's interesting that there is a connection, a heritage connection, a historic connection between Gilbert Burnett and James Willard, who are the people who built these houses. James Willard may have even built that house because he was a timber miller and builder. And the property is of significance. It has been identified in three, as I say now, four of council's own heritage reports, with the most recent one identifying it in 2015 as being significant. I really do urge council, in the absence of having a heritage department or a designated heritage officer who is apprised, you know, with this information, that we do need to make sure that we support the developers who have, with their generosity and good spirit, entered into the process of the heritage assessment for state significance, and on that journey have shown great interest in the community's desire to acknowledge the history of the place, the people, and the events that have occurred around the area. I think it's really beholden upon us, given that there have been some reports done in the past identifying the significance of the particular property. It has not appeared on our own register, and I understand that for reasons that former council has decided not to list properties that are not owned by council. But here we are in a situation where heritage really needs to be understood as being a matter of importance that's not just about locking up land. We're now dealing with a heritage issue having to be dealt with. The Heritage Department said this property is significant to Queensland history. The Heritage Council said no, it's not, and have made this decision. So now, councillors, we all have to deal with what to do. The community is saying very clearly, heritage matters. We want this house to be kept in some manner. The owners are saying we will allow that. They've actually given an undertaking for 6 months that they will not demolish, but they will look to relocate. We urgently need officers to guide us in terms of what is best practice, how do we do this, and how do we move forward with our developers to acknowledge heritage while allowing development. I think this is a potential opportunity of incredible significance. Where will it be relocated to? Will it be relocated down to this proposed heritage precinct, which may be a collection of a whole heap of homesteads down in Cleveland? Some people are suggesting that that's been council endorsed, and I think we need to be really careful as to what is being said out in the community, and all the more reason why we need to get on the front foot so we work with officers to establish something that will give surety to the developers who've gone through a difficult process. And I think it's beholden upon us to support this. Certainly, point two, I acknowledge there are significant heritage matters that predate the European elements that we need to acknowledge, and these things will continue to come up. particularly for me and my division. Next year is the 100th anniversary of Birkdale State School. This year, and there's a whole enormous upspring of people showing great interest in this property and the history of the area. This year is the 100th anniversary of the Birkdale School of Arts Hall, an asset that we own that was built by the Birkdale Progress Association, which James Willard and Gilbert Burnett were on, which was Division 2 of the Tingalpa Board of the Kapalabar Parish at the time, in 1880 to 1885. There's a lot that we're learning, and by keeping this alive, we can put heritage, keep it on the map in Redland City. We can say that we are open for, you know, the sort of business that this attracts, and it is significant across regions that we are finding ways that we can make these into incredible attractors. This is one of Redland City's unique characteristics, and for us to have people willing to work, developers willing to support, we would be recalcitrant councillors if we did not support this and ask officers to guide us. Thank you.
Had two speakers for. Are there any speakers against? Councillor Elliott?
Just a comment. I'm reluctant to support. I'll support.
Can't hear you, Councillor Elliott. Just might want to move that microphone. Sorry.
I'm happy to support two. In one, if it's possible, preservation. But let's tie me into, yes, we are going to preserve this, and I'm not convinced yet of those houses. It says, requested and put the options of the preservation. So we're saying we are keeping it. I'm happy to, you know, if possible preservation, I'll support it, but I can't, I'll do it too, no trouble at all. But one's saying to me I'm locked into preserving these and we're getting a report to show we're going to do it. Request an urgent report on options for the preservation of the heritage house. So that says to me we're going to do it.
So
we just want the options report to say, you know.
Consider, perhaps the word consider needs to be in there.
If I may. Or consider, yeah, that's it.
So, councillors. No, councillor.
Well, that's my interpretation.
Excuse me, councillor. Put your hand down for a second. I'm listening to Councillor Elliott state his case. Councillor Elliott.
I might be reading it wrong, but it's a request an urgent report on options for the preservation of the heritage. So that says to me we're going to do something. I'm not convinced I'm not convinced yet until I get to the workshop. So I'm happy to say consider an urgent report to the preservation, and then that. But if you leave it as it is, council's going to do it.
Are you happy to allow the word consider?
And I'll support it then. Maybe that's easy.
As Councillor Ogilvie just said, an option's an option, and do nothing would be an option. But if Councillor Elliott wants to do some wordsmithing today, request an urgent report for preservation. That's fine. I'm sure it still covers it, and the intent of the report would still be there, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Consider
all options.
Consider the preservation. Consider. Can I suggest? Is that fine?
Yeah, I actually think that sews it up stronger.
In the proposal, if I may, in the proposal that I put forward to get an officer report on the best options for managing the relocation of.
No, that's too defined.
Councillor, I might just remind you why it's really important to be really organised with these motions prior to the meeting.
We were.
Well, I think you've heard that Councillor Elliott would accept the word consider.
Lock us in. And
okay.
And
it does. That still does. It's got to qualify the preservation, not the options. Do you still lock it in with that? It's got to be the possible preservation of the heritage.
Yeah, I thought the word consider was going to be at the instead of request. Consider an urgent report or okay.
Doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. I just don't want to. I don't want to lock us into yes, we're doing it.
Can I just
I'm
ask?
Happy to look at a report on the
I think the officers are hearing the debate, councillors. I'm assuming that there would be an option of do nothing. Okay. So, does that make you feel comfortable, Councillor Elliott?
Yeah, that's
fine. All right. Yeah, you want to have that option available to everyone when we see the information. I understand. And officers are hearing you loud and clear. So rather than working on the wordsmithing, which I don't particularly like doing on the floor, because it can be twisted in all sorts of ways. Okay, so have we got a speaker against? We don't. I'll hand back to Councillor Boglari to sum up.
I think everything's been said, and I can't see that any 11 councillor wouldn't vote for this, knowing how passionate the community is about our cultural and heritage assets.
Thank you, Councillor Boglari. I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against?
The motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Tolte, support? Thank you. That's carried, councillors. Thank you. Councillors, hopefully there's no other urgent business without notice that I haven't been advised of and that hasn't been well and truly wordsmithed. There is none. With that, I'll close the meeting at 11:14. Thank you for participation.